Good morning. I am not Megan. I was called last night to fill in. She's not feeling well today, and so we're giving her some time to recuperate. You'll notice that our 75 days of prayer continues. Be sure and look in the emails and such that have been sent out. We also have the booklets available for that daily prayer for specific people and groups within our church. And I really encourage you to do that. It has been a very special, uplifting time. I know for me, I do that every morning after I read my upper room. Speaking of which, upper rooms for March, April are available out in the Narthex. Be sure and pick yours up for your daily devotions. Part of my Lenten thing has been to read the scriptures that they list at the top of each daily devotion. It's been a wonderful way to celebrate the Lenten time, as well as grow a little bit each day. I want to welcome all of our visitors and everyone else that's here. One thing I will tell you, a strength of Asbury, the core of Asbury, are at Sunday school, particularly its adult Sunday school programs, really is a key component of this church. And if you don't have a Sunday school, we invite you to visit some, just to see and to experience. If you're interested after a church, I'll be out back, and I know there's several other people that would be certainly glad to show you or introduce you to different adult classes. Be sure and look into that, because that, to me, that is the essence of understanding and appreciating and getting the full benefit of Asbury Methodist Church and growing your faith. Be sure and look at all of the announcements that we have in the bulletin this Tuesday. Reverend Chase continues with the Book of John study in the Emmanuel Room at 6 o'clock. Don't forget our Give If You Can for our Lenten services. Also this Tuesday is Teenagers. And this afternoon it's our turn for Stone Soup. Greg, would you raise your hand? If you are interested in helping serve at Stone Soup, help serving the homeless this afternoon, check with Greg. Are there any other announcements that need to come before our group? Then please, please, we have many visitors. Be sure and greet each other in that Christian love. Will you please stand for our call to worship? Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill the whole earth.
Come, let us return to the Lord, that we may live before him.
Please join me in singing our call to worship, our hymn of praise, O Worship the King. Please remain standing and join me in the affirmation of faith from 1 Corinthians found in your bulletin. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen. Please be seated and join me in prayer. If you would, please look at your prayer list. Also, add to the prayers Jim Ault. Oh God, it's election time. It's that time when we've been bombarded by lots of folks telling us why we should vote for them, but most importantly, why we should fear others. Forgive us. Forgive us for being caught up in the hatred. in the call to despise others, in the call to fear. Forgive us when we get so caught up in who gets elected, when in fact it's you we must depend on. We ask, dear Lord, that you be with our leaders. Please bless President Barack. Thank you for his willingness to serve. Please be with Governor Asa. Thank you for the ways that he's been willing to stand and to be part of our community and our state and lead us. Thank you for all those persons that have agreed to be in leadership and have offered themselves up, even as candidates, even as we get so tired of the advertisements and the phone calls. God, make us a people of faith. Faith first and foremost, before we think about those things that worry us so much. Give us the confidence to know that no matter who's elected, we will continue to be strong in you. In your holy name we pray, as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Invite our children to come forward now.
Oh, how about this? Don't we have a group here? Wonderful. You all came to see all your moms play the bells, didn't you? Okay, we're so happy to have you. You know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about measuring God's love for us. And I have a couple of things to ask you. One thing is, what is this kind of measurement? A measuring cup. What do you use a measuring cup for?
For measuring stuff.
Right. What if you... That was right.
Liquid.
What else? What else can you measure with a cup? What if you're going to make a cake?
Baking powder.
Powder. Right. Well, you know, in the Bible it says...
Liquids.
That's right. Solids and liquids. Gosh, we got a scientist here. It says in the Bible that God's love is more than any cup could hold. In fact, it would take millions and billions of cups to hold all of God's love, right, for us? Here's another way of measuring something. You know what this is?
Measuring tape.
What do you use a measuring tape for?
For measuring a couch.
Yes, that's it. Absolutely right. If you're going to recover it, that's right. What else?
You could measure a table.
Measure a table for a tablecloth. Get over here to this young man.
What else? You could measure that microphone.
Measure how far it is away. That's right. Why don't you stand up a minute? Can you stand up? Let's see how tall you are. What does that say down there? 3 feet and 2 inches. Wow, would I like to be 3 feet 2 inches again? Around. Well, you know it says in the Bible that you cannot measure God's love with a measuring tape. It's just too wide. God's love is just too big. Here's another form of measurement. It's kind of broken, but what is it? A watch.
Elapsed time.
Well, here's something that might be happening out here in the audience. They might be using this to measure how long the preacher preaches. But we won't go into that, Chase. Okay, well, anyway, it says that in the Bible that God's love is everlasting to everlasting, so we can't measure it with a watch either. Would you all pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
As our children are leaving and our ushers are coming forward, remind you of the program to give if you can, give what you can, and the cans that are the The plan is described in your bulletin and the insert there. Be sure and do that as we look to feed the homeless. And also be in prayer for those that are volunteering. And if you want to volunteer, just check with Greg. For we today specifically are feeding the homeless at Stone Soup. It's our turn. Frankly, though, it's always our turn. Please join me in prayer. Oh, God, we're giving you these, our tithes and offering. It's frankly just a token of what we owe you, because we know you gave us everything. We know that as we feed the homeless many ways, we are also just as homeless as we seek you and seek that shelter with you. As we serve the world, we're reminded that it also serves us. We thank you so much. We hope that this, our tithes, is what we can and should do. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Will you please join me in singing our hymn 163, Ask Me What Great Things I Know.
Amen. Please be seated. It's great to be with you, great to worship with you, and we continue our sermon series on Lenten revelations as today we talk about come and see the man that told me everything. And so now we turn to our scripture passage, which comes to us from the Gospel according to John, chapter 4, verses 27 through 30. Hear these words as they are read aloud, and may they fall and rest upon our hearts and our minds in a fresh and new way. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. Have you ever been without power? I don't mean electricity. I mean influence, control over your situation. Maybe you felt the world was collapsing around you. Someone else had the authority. Someone else held the power over you. Maybe they abused that power. Maybe they misused that authority against you. About 3 or 4 months ago, Jan and I went to watch a great movie. And I recommend it. It's Oscar season anyway, right? And I recommend it not because it's a great movie, because it has intensity and tension and drama, but because it calls us to think deeply about power dynamics in relationships. The movie is Spotlight. It's a movie about a press group within the Boston Globe. They're an investigative group, And they led the research and publication of uncovering the Catholic Church's power control over the abuse of children with priests. After Jan and I had finished this movie, it was a mixed bag. We enjoyed the drama, but we felt numb, thinking about all the pain caused by the abuse of priests, authority figures, and it's one of the reasons I'm thankful, Reverend Mary's thankful, Tony Hilliard, our conference chancellor, is thankful, and all of us should be thankful that we have safe sanctuaries, a system that provides accountability to ensure that abuse does not happen. Because we know that people are corruptible. People fold with their power. They abuse their power. And it's best we not take a chance, but hold people to values and accountability that will ensure the safety of everyone. Power. When have you felt like you didn't have power? When has your power been threatened? When have you been tempted by power? You know, Lent is a time in which we think deeply about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And one of the key things to remember, one of the core things Jesus was tempted with by Satan, was to abuse his power. To abuse his power to make bread when he was starving. To abuse his power by making himself the ruler of all through his influence and not his sacrifice. To throw away his power to worship Satan and not God. But aren't we thankful? Jesus is incorruptible. Amen. The temptations of the devil did not stand against Jesus. Instead, Jesus uses his power for good. He uses it to empower others. And that's where we land here with this story this morning. This famous encounter with the woman at the well. I encourage you, if you haven't, to read the whole encounter because it's just so eye-opening about who Jesus is. Because this woman at the well, this woman who is not named, she does not have a name, goes from a person who does have zero power to one who has been empowered to share the gospel, one empowered to believe in the Messiah. Jesus initiates the breaking of barriers, the destruction of walls of society that are built up so those people don't encounter the other people, so the them and theys don't group together. The woman at the well, Jesus wasn't supposed to speak to her. She was a woman, an adulteress, and a Samaritan. Three strikes, you're out. But Jesus doesn't care. His goal is for two things. To empower this woman to see who he is, and to empower this woman so that she will then go and tell her Samaritan family. So then they will know about Jesus. Jesus initiates this conversation. Isn't it fascinating that the woman in the story, even though we have no idea who she is, we don't have her name, even though we're given information that she has a sketchy past and is supposed to be unworthy, lower, lesser, is very intelligent, has a sophisticated conversation with the Lord. Jesus allows her to ask questions. Jesus allows her to make conclusions for herself, honoring her own intellect and ability and gifts to become aware of who it is she's talking to. They talk about water and the living water. They talk about prophets. They talk about her past. And all of this, this deep conversation that the two of them have, leads her to the conclusion, this rhetorical question that I believe signals that she knows exactly who he is. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? Don't you hear it? What if you had had a conversation with Jesus 5 minutes go past after you left and it dawns on you it was Jesus? It was the Messiah. Maybe you would want to go back, oh, I wish I had asked him this instead. But Jesus is content with her using the power he's giving her to advance the gospel. So then the question that comes to us, brothers and sisters, always is, how do we reflect Jesus? How do we be like Jesus? We have to identify the people that have no power. And we have to use our own power to empower them, to claim their God-given status of being a child of God. What a marvelous role. What a fabulous responsibility to help others see who truly they are. Children of God. Who in our society today have no power? Children who are subjected to authorities out the wazoo. Even if they don't like their parents, they're stuck with them. Illegal immigrants who come to this country for work and are subjected to modern-day slavery by being paid very, very low wages for jobs Americans won't do. They have no power. What about a single mother raising two children by herself while working two jobs? She has no power. Every week or every other week, I walk into a nursing home or a rehabilitation center, and I see people who have no power. Because they're weak, they're physically frail, mentally not there. Some stare into the wall. They have no power. I think of those who are struggling after they come home from war, feeling wrecked within their mind, feeling powerless to take control. Today is Stone Soup, where we serve people who have no power. Several years ago, I went on a mission trip, and one of our stops on that mission trip was in Birmingham, Alabama. And we were serving breakfast and lunch for the homeless at this church. And they do lots of resources for folks that are disenfranchised. And I heard a troubling, heartbreaking story of a woman who had all of her identification, her driver's license, state ID. It was in her car. And her car got taken to the impound. And she didn't have any money. You can't get a new ID without a couple of pieces of identification in Alabama. And so this church was doing everything they could to try to help this lady. She was in a very, very tough spot. We are empowered people. So it's our task to not only look for those that don't have power, but to help empower them in the name of Jesus. To help them realize that they are God's children. And that with God, everything is possible. We worship a Lord who empowers others. And his example of empowering his disciples later in the Gospel of John is getting on his knees and washing the disciples' feet so that they will know how they are supposed to go out into the world to serve as Christ served. Loving servants. Now, yes, power can corrupt us. Yes, we may realize that we've abused our power in some ways, but that is the time when we must come to God, refocus, and realize our role as empowered people is to empower others. After all, Jesus broke three barriers that day, visiting the woman. And so we ask the question, well, how? How do we empower? How does Jesus? He initiates a conversation. He shows her she has value. How do you think 5 minutes after she's left and she realizes the Messiah treated me that way? I feel honored, blessed, more motivated, more encouraged to serve that Lord. That is our task, brothers and sisters. So during this time of Lent, let us look deeply around us, the people that need encouragement and help and more power for their life. And let us share it. Share with them the love and grace of Christ that empowers us all as we claim loving and holy living. Otherwise, the walls stay up. Otherwise, the barriers stand strong. And Christ told us to break down walls, to embrace others, and to love those different from ourselves. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us be standing as we sing our closing hymn, Precious Name. Hymn number 536. Let us be standing as we sing our closing hymn. If there are those who like to come forward to unite with our church, to become a member, or to reaffirm your faith, or to have time of prayer here at the front, we invite you forward now. Thank you. Christ's love has empowered you to do fabulous and wondrous things. So go and spread all of that, because there's so many in need, so many desperate for love, and it's our job to offer that gracious love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.